Our guest on the Bard's Eye View this morning is a favorite of mine. He's been with us before, and we've always had a wonderful time when he has. I'm speaking of Jay Rogoff, poet extraordinaire, and also something of a dance aficionado, should we say?
Yeah, have been for most of my life, for many, many years, yes.
And now sort of the voice of the New York City Ballet in a way.
Oh, that's a little too extreme. I review the New York City Ballet for the Saratogian up in Saratoga uh-huh. Springs. And I also write about dance for some other publications like uh-huh. Ballet Review and the Hopkins Review.
What we're particularly interested in today is a new book of poems from Jay, The Art of Gravity, which turns out to be, or which I thought turned out to be, a book with poems all about dance.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of this, we get this very strange connection, which I still have not been able to get, with death.
Yes.
And when we say death here, we're not kidding, are we?
Right. Well, the title, The Art of Gravity, works in two different directions because, of course, what dancers are often trying to do is defying gravity, but they require gravity in order to defy it. You need gravity in order to make a leap.
But also,
I'm thinking of gravity in the terms of ultimate gravity, what's going to pull us all down earthward.
True, but also I couldn't help making the connection with the dancers themselves. Having had a slight connection with the ballet mm-hmm. myself as a musician in a previous life, I remember how dancers were always looked at as cadaverous.
Oh, yeah.
As people who literally dance their lives away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those great ballet myths, and we see it enacted in films like The Red Shoes and Black Swan, and it's something that I think we're still holding on to, although more often you will see dancers talk about dance as a life-preserving, as a life-force activity, as opposed to something that drives them towards death. I got interested in bringing death in because I was writing this long series of poems that had to do with dance. I had gotten on a jag because I tend to write about things that I love. And I thought, well, this needs a little death in it, you know, and it needs a little darker tonality. And of course, there are many ballets that do have to do with death. So I began writing a sonnet about the dance of death tradition. I was thinking particularly of the images of death coming personified, leading away members of all levels of society to their doom. And I just kept writing poems, putting death in all these kinds of modern perspectives, some of them balletic and some of them not.
With this came this feeling to me that you went way beyond what one would, you know,
what was necessary.
and I'm wondering about that.
Mm-hmm.
What was your thought, that deep down thought inside that made that connection?
Well, I think my thought deep down is that I'm middle-aged, you know. and I'm realizing that there's only a handful of decades left until I get pulled down by ultimate gravity as well.
But we're all going there, Jay.
Of course we are.
I wondered, you know, the connection between this one particular thing, dance,
mm-hmm.
and dancers.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, mortality is there with all humans.
Mm-hmm.
But why you chose to connect these two so closely
mm-hmm.
and so deeply?
Well, as I said before, many, many ballets do have to do with death. George Balanchine actually staged versions of his own death many times in his ballets, right. And he was as sparkly and as wonderful as some of his ballets are, like the Glorious Symphony in C, which will be performed at SPAC by the company this coming week. There are a lot of his ballets that also are intense and brooding and absolutely gorgeous in their consideration of our mortality. I mean, I'll read La Valse, which is the poem. It's a sonnet. The sequence, the death sequence, is a sonnet sequence called Danse Macabre, the Dance of Death. And I'll give you a little taste of this. La Valse. Only death can keep commitments. Girls flirt and withdraw, flirt and withdraw. The music consumptive, languishing as lust grows sick and dies. Wallflowers. One fluffs and smooths her skirt, and with her white-gloved hand she masks her heart, then her face, until he sweeps in to take her in his arms like an electric shock while the waltz threatens to blow itself apart. Thundering. Screaming. Dyeing her ball gown black, he offers her a mirror where she can read no reflection. The glass cracked and opaque. She lets him gather her, waltzing, and freed from time, she's raised dead center. Around her race the idiot dancers, hand in hand. I think what happens in art, of course, art on the one hand is very life-supporting, but it's also something that's removed from life. You know, as in Yeats's Byzantium poems, where he wants to, where the character longs to be a work of art that's removed from the flux of life, and it's beautiful, but it's also quite dead and cold.
Of course, you're familiar with the fact that when Ravel wrote this piece, mm-hmm. he was talking about something much bigger.
He was looking at the coming of the Great War, I think,
yes.
right? Yeah. He said, we are dancing at the edge of a volcano.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything would be blown apart,
yeah.
literally.
Yeah.
And it was about a dance of death, but it was a whole continent dancing itself to death.
Yeah. So one of the things I was after was how dance can embody these larger issues and get us to think about our mortality, even while we're captivated by the sheer beauty of what we're watching on stage.
And also, I couldn't help but think about other art forms in which death takes a much more intimate and personal part.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, Schubert's Death and the Maiden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Which I have a poem about
yeah.
in here. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or the Der Erlkönig,
mm-hmm.
in which the father is racing through the night trying to escape death
yeah.
with his child.
Yeah. But of course, poetry also. We have developed this kind of romantic attachment to death, and I guess it goes back to the 19th century and the Romantics, whereby we think that death is somebody who comes to comfort us. Death is a solution. Death will take us out of this terrible world that we live in, and it can be a terrible world sometimes, as wonderful as it can be at others. One of the things I wanted to do in these poems is also show the character of death being a trickster, being a shyster, being somebody who sells us a bill of goods, makes death attractive and beautiful, whereas finally we're just lying in a hole.
How difficult was it to maintain this connection? Because so much in this book of poems is about the dance.
Well, it seemed to come naturally to me. The two sections of the book, the first section of the book being mostly about dancing and the second section of the book being mostly about death but seen through the lens of dance, make a kind of diptych. They are kind of funhouse mirrors of each other, so I like to look at them that way. There's loads of poems in the book about the utter absorption into the world of dance that don't necessarily have to do with death but also have to do with other emotions related to our inmost fears. And the book begins with an invocation to the god Apollo. That poem comes from a recurring nightmare I used to have where suddenly I would be on stage about to dance Apollo with the New York City Ballet. And of course, I had no idea what I was doing. And so I'll read that one.
Read that
it's one called,
also.
called Invocation. George Balanchine appears in the poem as a ghost, and Mr. B is what he is called here, as his dancers always called him. Invocation. Apollo, On stage, I stood in leotard and slippers, white tunic knotted at my shoulder, and I knew, like lecturing on quantum mechanics or batting bases full against Koufax, here I was in trouble again. Apollo. Oh, dreams fraught with inadequacy. Can't I impersonate a god in the privacy of my unconscious? Dance under cover of tactful night in a dark house with no fear of a true mirror? Elusive muse. Then, at my elbow, Mr. B, 10 years dead, materialized. I said, I've never danced at all, I meant. My dear, he interrupted, his accent purring in my ear, you are god of muses. You see danced ballet how many times? You know. Thus bemused, thus blessed, I, who'd never danced, I was Apollo, set for the strains of Stravinsky's score to course like ichor through my veins. The curtain rose. I woke in the darkest hour and never knew what immortal long-legged darling he, in conspiracy with night, had cast my terpsichore. So that's how the book ends, and it gets us into a series of poems that then become increasingly obsessed with dance.
It held my interest, and I, at the end of this book, I found myself still with many questions unanswered about this strange connection. But the poems, as usual, are wonderful. All I can say is to challenge our listeners to find out what they find in these poems with this strange connection that has occurred.
Yeah. May I conclude with just one short poem, another sonnet?
By all means. Because
I think this poem embodies very well that that combination of dance as life force, the way it fills us with romantic feeling and nostalgia, and the way it also is an element in our lives that we ultimately have to return from to go to our mortality. Adagio. Slowing, the oboe swoons in the orchestral swell. If a girl denoting 6 o'clock, thrusting one leg behind her toward the sky, were not enough to make us gasp, that leg imparts momentum to her head's downstroke, so her forehead touches her other knee. All this on point, enough to make you fall in love 150 feet away. I loved a dancer once, and watching her do that with her body in front of 2,000 people, I suddenly couldn't breathe until she'd lift her head once more and lower that leg I knew and send me on toward death, that firm, amazing leg those years ago.
Well, I also think that poem gives us all a little hope.
I hope so, too.
The book is The Art of Gravity. The poet, Jay Rogoff. It's published by Louisiana State University Press. And Jay, I can't tell you how interesting this has been for me.
Oh, it's always interesting talking with you, Paul.
The questions still are not answered. I'm going to be looking for more.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if poetry provides answers. I think it provides experiences, I think.
We can take that as another challenge. But as always, it's an adventure just having you in.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
And thank you.
It was Paul Elijah speaking with Jay Rogoff in our Bard's Eye View. Jay Rogoff's book, The Art of Gravity, Poems, is published by Louisiana State University Press. The New York City Ballet season at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center begins on July 10th. To learn more, visit SPAC.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.